finding an open area inside, drives hard, draws the foul. Oh, Wade puts it in.
Oh, my. That's Dwayne Wade at his most versatile best.
Yeah, Adebayo on the pick. And throw, blocked by Wade. This is good if it goes. Yes! Oh! He did it again. By Wade putting the move on Davis. Here is Wade. Yes! With 1.3 to go. In franchise history.
This is a team award, just like it's a team championship. It's one of the best feelings next to my wife and my son. It's one of the best feelings I ever had in my life. So I'm going to live it up because we deserve it.
Wade slips the defense in with it. Oh, right in that grill. Welcome to my poster, Okafor.
You always want to put yourself in the best position possible to be able to win. You know, have an opportunity to team up with, you know, arguably the best trio to ever play the game of basketball.
Man, this process is unbelievably hard, and I don't care who you put on a team. To be a champion, it would be the hardest thing you do.
Wade behind his back, pretty play, spinning shot off the glass and in. What a shot by Dwayne Wade. Oh, Wade, what a play!
Wow.
Oh, wow!
I need to see that again because I don't believe what he did.
This was the most difficult one, you know, my you know, dealing with things, obviously, with my body, you know, going through this. The things we had to deal with to get here, you really can walk away from this and say, we gave everything we had, and we really deserve this because they pushed us to our limits.
Thomas, Wade with a steal, with two. Wade puts it up for the win. Yeah, baby!
He did it! He did it! Dwayne Wade with the steal and the game winner!
13 years I've been here. Years after I leave, you know, I think the Miami Heat will always try to put a winning team on the court.
We are watching a very special young player. Wade has done that. Another banker. 41.
Wanted to continue to play this game at a high level. You know, wanted to be a part of something special, a big part of it. And that's what your individual work and everything you do over the summer is driven by.
Welcome to the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Well, 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 and suddenly, then there was one. Welcome to the extravaganza right here on ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. We are Toledo's sports leader, and then there was one, just like they started out. There was Dwayne Wade, who won a championship with Shaquille O'Neal, and then things fell apart a little bit, had some lean times, and then it was time to put together the big three, as they called it, the three amigos, a little bit too, with a nod toward the Hispanic cultural makeup of some of South Florida. They called them the three amigos for a little while before they went back to just big three. It was Dwayne Wade. It was LeBron James. And it was Chris Bosh. And it was going to change the face of the National Basketball Association. And they were going to come together and form this super team of all-stars. That was going to win. Not one, not two, not three. You know how it went. I don't want to pick on LeBron for that anymore, especially since he delivered a championship back in Ohio. So we're willing to kind of let that part of this whole thing go. But you remember the story, how it was supposed to go. It was supposed to be a dynasty of all dynasties. They're going to go out there and just destroy teams and win championships forever. And then suddenly something happened. What happened on the way to history? What happened on the way in Miami to winning championship after championship? LeBron James left after just 4 years. Suddenly, Pat Riley, the guru, Pat Riley, the bling bling, the guy who could always have an answer for everybody and everything that he wanted, the guy who could talk anybody into coming on down to join him and all of his fabulous rings and play in Miami. Wonderful, gorgeous South Beach and all of the things that come along with it. Suddenly, LeBron James didn't want to be a part of that anymore. And now, the Miami Heat, after asking Dwayne Wade to take less money for the last several years to pay everything that it would take to get LeBron James and Chris Bosh and then all of the other pieces and parts that would come to be known as the championship Miami Heat twice in 4 years, Ray Allen had to be paid. Dwayne Wade suddenly can't seem to get a fair shake, at least in basketball parlance, when it comes to contracts. Can't seem to get a fair shake from Pat Riley. Pat Riley doesn't even call Dwayne Wade during the free agency period, just taking him for granted that he'll give or he'll take whatever we choose to give him. Think about that. We'll give him what we tell him he deserves. He's not going anywhere. This is his place. He's got three titles here. He's not going anywhere. And I got to tell you, I believed it. This one is a bigger surprise to me, Dwayne Wade now a Chicago Bull, than Kevin Durant to the Golden State Warriors was a surprise to me. That one I moderately expected. I expected him to either, and I know that it's, you know, not like I'm being Kreskin the Magnificent here when I say this, that I had it down to three, but I mean, I thought he would either stay in OKC or go to Golden State or Oklahoma City. None of the three really shocked me. It just really disappointed me because of what it means for the West, what it means for the Warriors, whom I despise, what it means for Kevin Durant, who I really liked. I wasn't shocked by it. I was just really disappointed in it. This one genuinely shocks me. I thought there's no way the Miami Heat are not going to make a fair, again, in NBA contract parlance. You might say $10 million a year is pretty doggone fair. Sure you would, but not when Mike Conley is getting $30 million a year. Not when Matthew Dellavedova is getting $9.5 million a year. Of course it's not fair. And then they up that to, okay, we'll give you 2 years for $20 million each, but we're not going to give you that third year. I thought certainly they'll find a way to hammer this out. Pat Riley, Mickey Arison, they're not going to allow the face of Miami sports, the face literally. Lebatard, whom you hear, of course, every day here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket, was talking about this. They're based in, his show is based in South Florida. He covers these guys as closely, if not more closely, than anybody. He pointed out that Dwayne Wade was the most influential and beloved sports athlete in Miami history. That's right, in the city of Miami. South Florida, the place that produced the 72 Dolphins. Miami, Florida, that produced Dan Marino and all of those records. Produced World Series champions, too. Dwayne Wade was the most beloved figure in Miami sports history. No way they're not going to get that done and keep him there. No way he's going to want to walk away, especially toward the end of what is a has been a spectacular career. And when I say toward the end, we've got to be very careful about that. Dwayne Wade, it's so funny, Dwayne Wade is kind of being compared a little bit anyway in some circles to Kobe Bryant in the Kobe Bryant, you know, farewell tour type of thing. Like, you know, well, what did Wade want? Did he want them to do something like, you know, a $30 million a year contract just for having already played, even though he's not going to be as good anymore like Kobe did? It's not like that. He's 34, not 39. All right? He's not broken down. Last year, he bounced back from an injury-riddled 2015 this past season to have a very solid year. He was injured actually it was 2013-14 and 2015-14-15. He wasn't the most healthy he had ever been. You know, he missed, let's see, in 2014 and 15 he played, so he missed 20 games. And then he missed he missed 28 in the previous year in 13-14. So 48 games over 2 years. It might indicate already he's broken down a little bit. But you know what? He came back to play 74 games this past season, averaged 19 and four and a half assists, four rebounds, pretty doggone close to his career averages when he was in his, you know, the real peak of his powers, when he was a 30-point-a-game scorer in 2008-2009, 26, 25. In the subsequent years after that, 27 back in 2006-07. So, you know, he's not going to put up the same numbers, but his in terms of scoring, but his assists and his rebounding and his steals, pretty doggone close to his career averages. So he's not broken down. I never thought they would let Dwayne Wade, while Dwayne Wade could still play and contribute, especially on a team that was trying literally just a few days ago to get Kevin Durant to join him and Hassan Whiteside, who would be maxed out or as close to maxed out as possible, and maybe bring Chris Bosh back after his, you know, injury concerns and health concerns, that they still might be the best, second-best team in the East. Instead, LeBron James is gone. Now Dwayne Wade has gone back home to Chicago. Now, Chris Bosch maybe opted out of his contract by the team, not by Chris Bosch. I heard a really interesting discussion this morning. By the way, you really have to listen. You do. You got to listen to ESPN 106.5, The Ticket, in the morning and all day long, because there's just so much stuff. I gather so much information just from being, you know, listening to this station and following the guys, you know, Greeny and Golic and all these guys. But they're reporting out that there is, of course, a health clause in Chris Bosch's contract that I guess is in almost all of these contracts, that if somebody is ill or injured and cannot play for an entire season, misses a full season, that a team can get out of that contract. And they were talking about that this morning. Obviously, it was not Greeny, it was Russillo and Golic were talking about this morning, that now it might be Pat Riley's master plan here to end the Big Three thing and go with a full-on rebuild, which is why he may have lowballed Dwayne Wade to the point that it hurt Dwayne Wade's pride. $10 million a year. Are you kidding me? After all of the breaks I took to help build this championship roster before, all of the breaks I gave you and all of the money that I was willing to forego in order to make everything work under the cap, that's what you do to me, that ego and pride would come into play. And maybe that's exactly what Riley wanted to have happen, so that now LeBron is gone, now Wade is out, without having to pay him the obligatory real Kobe type of thank you for all your years of service stuff while you're still not necessarily still a valuable player, you know, in a couple of years from now. Again, I would not say that about him at 34. But rather than have to deal with all that, and now get out of, because remember, Chris Bosch wanted to play over and over and over again. Chris Bosch said, I want to play. Doctor says I can play.
That became a thing during the East Semis when they lost to Toronto.
Should they let him play? That's right. Should they let him play and bring him back now and push them over the edge to get to the conference finals? Chris Bosch said yes. Doctors say yes, he can play. And Miami said stubbornly over and over again, no, we won't have any of that. We don't want to have you getting hurt or having any more issues with the blood clots in your lungs, and it's just not safe, and we're looking out for your best interest. Maybe Pat Riley was looking out for, hey, we can get out of that contract if we don't let him play for a full year. Maybe that was more important to what the Miami Heat was trying to do. End the Big Three. Blow it up. As of now, and then there's one. If they do this, if they find a way, because of the medical situation and the contract being written the way it is, to get out of the Chris Bosch, and then there are none. Literally, 6 years ago, the summer of 2010, the whole thing was built. They brought all three of them together. They brought them out into the arena, the smoke-filled, what is it down there, American Airlines Arena?
Yep.
The smoke-filled American Airlines Arena. Brought them out there in full uniform in July. And they did their not one, not two, not three thing. And oh my gracious, and 6 short years later, LeBron's a champion in a different city. Wade is now back in Chicago as a Bull. Bosch is probably being run out. And the Miami Heat has one go-to player left, and that's Hassan Whiteside, who can't shoot free throws. Wow, how times and how things have changed. And I got to tell you this, I am taking no small amount of pleasure in Dwayne Wade leaving Miami, getting his money someplace else, and watching Miami fans scream at Pat Riley. Miami fans are furious over this, and with good reason. Dwayne Wade was their LeBron, other than the fact that he wasn't from South Florida the way LeBron was from Northeast Ohio in Akron. But he was their favorite son. He got them 3 championships. After all, why did LeBron come to South Beach? Because Dwayne. Why did Bosch go there? Because of Dwayne. Dwayne. Remember what Isaiah Thomas said a couple of days ago? Isaiah Thomas said, after Kevin Durant agreed to go play with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green to try to win championships that way, Isaiah Thomas, the Pistons legend, talking about how just this is something that wouldn't have been done back in his day. He, like so many others, quick to point out, I wanted to beat Larry Bird in the Celtics. I would never have said, I can't beat him, I'm going to go join him. Hey, Larry, make some room for me, I'm coming over. He would never have done that. He said, however, if Larry or Magic or any of the other great players of my era wanted to come to Detroit, I'd hold the door open for him and roll out the red carpet. But I'm not going to them. I'm not going to look like the you know, the B word that can't beat you, so I'm going to say, hey, let me put on a uniform like yours, and I'll just win with you. That's basically what, without using the B word, that's basically what Isaiah Thomas said. Well, Dwayne Wade did that. Dwayne Wade didn't say, all right, LeBron, I'm going to come play with you, man. I'm going to come to Cleveland. Or, hey, CB, let's all go north of the border. Let's play up in Toronto. He said, this is my house. How coincidental that that was from Florida, as in Florida. This is my house. Welcome to my house, LeBron. Come down here and play with me. We'll win. Welcome to my house, Chris Bosh. Come on down here to South Florida. Play with me. We'll win. But I'm not leaving here to go to you. That made him, as much as anything, Miami's favorite son. First the title in 05-06 or 06-07.
No, it was 05-06. This was the 06 finals.
With Shaq. And then, of course, a couple of down years, he got injured as well. In 06-07, I think he played like 50 games each in 06-07.
Yeah, there was a 15-win season in there, and that's the one where Wade was injured for most of it.
Bingo. Yeah, well, he had two of them where he only played 51 games right in a row, 06 and 07 and 07 and 08. And you're right, they had that 15-win season. They were last place. But then, of course, in short order, 2 years later, bam, there they are. He recruits and works out again, which is going to get me angry again because of the way this whole thing went down. But he and Bosh and LeBron form their little plan. They do so at the Olympics in 08. They're going to get together in 2010, or the World Championships, I guess it would have been. They're going to get together in 2010, and everything played out the way that it did. But all of that made Dwayne Wade the most revered sports athlete in Miami sports history, according to Levitard and others. And now to see him go, this is far more shocking than Kevin Durant leaving Oklahoma City. It's far more shocking than just about any of the moves that have been made, with the exception maybe of the LeBron move to Miami now 6 years ago. This one might even be a tad bit more shocking because, again, we didn't know of turbulence. We didn't know that there were issues between upper management and Dwayne Wade. And when we say issues, we're talking about miscommunication or outright lies. Because either Dwayne Wade just completely didn't understand when he insinuated that they're going to take care of me later, I'm sacrificing more money now in order to get this roster built the way we need it built to get our big three and our complementary parts together to win another to win some championships. I'm sacrificing now to make this happen, but they're going to take care of me later. Either that was a complete misunderstanding, or he understood it perfectly well, and he was just lied to by Riley, Arison, or whoever else is part of the power structure or the power brokers in Miami. So that's what makes this just incredibly shocking. The way the big three comes to an end is a way that no one ever thought that it would come to an end. Levitard wrote this, and talking about the sadness of Miami fans, and talking about how this is not what was supposed to be, and it's all falling apart. And I'm thinking to myself, Miami fans can KMA, because the way they acted when LeBron James left Cleveland to go down there and do this dirty deed back in 2010, the way they acted, laughing at loser Cleveland, laughing at loser Cavalier fans, ha, 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 we took the MVP because ain't nobody wants to live up there in your snow and in your with your burning river. Nobody wants to live up there when you can come down here and live the South Beach life. Yeah, bikinis, less than bikinis, rock band lovers driving Lamborghinis. Oh, did I just do that? Yes, I did. Nobody wants to live up there when you can come down here to South Beach. Think about what we're talking about here. We're talking about clubs, beaches, perfect weather. Who wants to live in Cleveland? And they made fun of Cleveland for being distraught and for burning Cavaliers jerseys and LeBron jerseys and all of that other nonsense in 2012 or 2010. Well, here it is in 2016. What goes around comes around, and it's coming around to the Miami fans, as their beloved Dwayne Wade is out, and guess what? Pat Riley made it happen. You want to be mad at anybody, be mad at Pat Riley. Don't be mad at Dwayne Wade on this one. He was the good soldier. He was the guy who was willing to do what it took to help his franchise win. Look, this is the exact opposite of so many other situations with free agents we have seen. Some of them, they turn down money. They turn down more money to go to places where they have a better chance to win. Kevin Durant's that example. LeBron was that example in 2010. This is the exact opposite of that. He knows he would have had a better chance of winning if he had been able to stay in Miami and bring a few more pieces, re-sign Whiteside. They were trying to bring KD there, you know, get Bosh healthy again. He knows that Chicago's in rebuild. Chicago just jettisoned Derrick Rose and let Joakim Noah walk.
And Pau Gasol's a Spur now, too.
Pau Gasol's a Spur. That's right. He knows that he's not going to win anything in Chicago, but his thinking now is, I gave up money to try to win in Miami, and now, since I can't win, I want my money. And Chicago was willing to pay him the money, even though it's only for 2 years, that would get him close to where he wanted to be and get him out away from the ungrateful ingrates, if you will, down at South Beach that lied to him. Or that led him on into thinking there would be, you know, a payment on the back end, taking care of you on the back end, especially when there's never been a better time to take care of him on the back end than this year. With the expanded salary cap, all of that TV revenue, if they were ever going to give him the thank you, D. Wade, for sacrificing before, here's what we owe you now, and we still have another 2 or 3 or 4 years left together if you're at the age of 34, this would have been the time to do it without any pain at all. And Riley didn't want to do that. So if Miami fans are upset, good. KMA, this is what happens. What goes around comes around. Everybody else, I'm not going to speak for anybody else. I'll ask you to speak for yourself on this. I would love to hear your thoughts on Dwayne Wade going to Chicago. Pau Gasol, as you pointed out, is now a Spur. And one other piece of fallout from all of this, Mike Dunleavy, terrific three-point shooter. Great teammate, great, you know, fit pretty much in any offense that he could be in.
Somebody who LeBron wanted to bring to Cleveland last summer, but it couldn't happen.
Somebody that LeBron has long coveted, yes, sir, Jim Cushlin, is indeed going to join the champs. The champion Cavaliers get better with the addition of Mike Dunleavy, announced at about the same time as the 2-year contract agreed to with Richard Jefferson, who is no longer retiring, of course. So they keep a very key component in Jefferson. They add one in Dunleavy. Now the question is, where is the J.R. Smith conversation? I'm hoping, Cush, that Dunleavy is not to alleviate the loss of J.R. Smith. I'm hoping it's not, hey, this is a great three-point shooter, too. We don't need J.R. anymore. I'm hoping this is in addition, not replacing J.R. But we'll have to wait and see on that.
Yeah.
As of now, we're going to count on the J.R. Smith going back on, obviously, a much richer deal than the one he went into free agency on or off of, and Dunleavy being a tremendous scorer off of the bench for the Cavaliers when they sit Kyrie or LeBron or whomever.
Yeah, and I'm kind of glad you brought that up, because once the move was being made last night and the Bulls had to clear cap space, that's why Dunleavy's a Cav, and incidentally Jose Calderon is off to L.A. They had to clear some of the cap space, did the Chicago Bulls for this. And honestly, I got to thinking, well, now that Dunleavy's a Cav, what does this do for the rest of it? And I literally doodled it out. Assuming they re-sign JR and James Jones for the back end of the bench, and Kay Felder isn't stashed in Canton, that's 15 guys right there. The roster would be maxed out at that point. So
that's
literally the Cavs rest of the offseason is just get JR and maybe bring Champ back, and then you're at 15 guys.
And that's it, yeah, and that's it. That's a great point. That's a really, really good point. And
which is another reason I kind of like the move, I believe. And Dunleavy's not that expensive. It's $4.8 million for this season, and it's a club option for 17-18, so it'll be for about $5 million. So that'll be up to the Cavs to make that decision, not a player option, the kind of thing that JR declined, for example.
Right. Very, very, very well said. That's a great point. So this is something that very well could and I think will benefit the Cavaliers based on all of those presumptions that we're making right now. Could very well benefit the Cavaliers. It weakens one of their chief rivals in the Eastern Conference. Not that there was too much of a rival anyway, but it certainly weakens the Miami Heat, and it leaves Miami Heat fans angry and disappointed and disillusioned. And to that I say, you know what? Again, KMA, and how does it feel? Now you're starting to know, welcome to my world. Welcome to our world, and this is what it feels like. At least you got 3 titles, though, out of your guy before he was no longer your guy. That is something that we were not able to say those who root for the Cavaliers back in 2010. But you know what? If you're suffering a little bit right now, good. You deserve it. You ought to have a taste of it before you start rubbing it in, rubbing the salt into the wounds of other people. All right, we're going to take a timeout here. We got a lot of more reaction to do there at 4:30 today. Kevin Durant is going to be introduced as the newest member of the Golden State Warriors. We're not going to carry that live for you, but we'll get a little bit of his explanation and see what he says. Also going to share with you the message sent to Dwayne Wade by Pat Riley after this whole thing was over, and Pat Riley couldn't have been more deflecting and dodging, I guess is the best way I would say it, more deflecting and dodging his own responsibility and culpability in this whole thing than he was. We'll share that too. But we're going to get into baseball. Coming up here after the bottom of the hour of SportsCenter, Anthony Fenech is going to join us from the Detroit Free Press. And I don't know if he is actually up in Toronto or not, because I'm not sure if he traveled on this particular trip. I know he was in Cleveland when the Tigers played the Indians earlier this week or over the weekend. I guess it was earlier this week. It's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But the Tigers are in Toronto. Anthony Fenech will join us now to talk a little bit more about the state of the Tigers, where they are after finally breaking that loss streak to the Indians on Wednesday, or Tuesday, I beg your pardon. No, wait, what's Wednesday? I'm losing my mind. That was yesterday. Daytime baseball yesterday. Okay. Indians, by the way, hosting the Yankees tonight in the first of four. But the Tigers are up north of the border, so we're going to talk to Fenech about that and old friends that may be making new acquaintances, if you will. So we'll do that as we talk baseball next. Oh, by the way, on the way into the baseball break, in the bottom of the hour break and then the baseball discussion, hey, don't forget, tomorrow is the Polish Festival, the LaGrange Street Polish Festival we've been giving tickets away to for the better part of the last 2 weeks. It is tomorrow through Sunday, and if you would like to go, I've got a pair of, I've got a four-pack of tickets for you, and I've got a pair of those four packs. That's eight tickets total that I'll give away to two winners. Callers 10 and 11 right now at 866-240-1065, 866-240-1065. If you want to go to the festival that starts tomorrow and runs through the weekend, by all means, be callers 10 or 11, and we will set you up with those tickets. Fenech talking Tigers baseball next, right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Now, back to Bob France, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Back indeed, and it is time to talk a little baseball right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket, Tiger style, with our good friend from the Detroit Free Press out there covering the Tigers from stem to stern and probably still reeking of the champagne that they poured all over one another in the clubhouse in Cleveland yesterday after winning a game against the Indians for the very first time in 2016. Anthony Fenech joins us once again. What's up, Mr. Fenech?
What's up, Bob? I'm in the pool.
You're in the pool, are you? Are you?
See, you see what I? You see what I do for you? I'm doing this interview from the pool. It's a beautiful day here in Metro Detroit. About 90 degrees, getting some sun.
So why are you not up north of the border? You should be up there with the Tigers and Blue Jays.
I got my trusty backup George Sipple. He's taking the team to the All-Star break, and I'm going to be in San Diego for all your Miguel Cabrera needs.
Very nice, very nice. And we will definitely like to check in with you next week from San Diego on that. But man, what a life you've got, huh? I mean, you know,
I'm living the dream right now.
If it's a close trip, yeah, okay, I'll go out to Cleveland, and maybe I'll go to Chicago, maybe I'll go to Kansas City. But if it's all the way up in Toronto, now send Sipple. I'm going to be in the pool. That's a pretty nice gig you got.
San Diego, I got that.
Yeah, that one, that's a pretty good one to take. By the way, I was only half kidding about them breaking out the champagne yesterday. That must have felt like a world championship, finally beating a team that they just could not beat for the first 4 months of the season.
Yeah, it was a big win, especially headed to Toronto, where the Blue Jays are playing really well, and the Tigers are simply going to be overmatched right now. I mean, looking at the pitching matchups, with they're going to have Anibal Sanchez going, Matt Boyd going. They have Justin Verlander tonight, but it was a much needed victory because. You don't want to go into the All-Star break 0-12 against the Indians team that you're chasing in the American League Central. And I think the way they did it was pretty big, too, just the way that they just came out. And they really stuck it to Josh Tomlin, who'd beaten them three times earlier this season. So I think it was all around as big of a win as you can get in early July.
Yeah, I would agree, given all of those circumstances, Anthony, and that's what I wanted to ask you about. We tried to reach you yesterday, obviously, but I kind of joked when you called and said you couldn't come on because you were behind in your writing for this gamer. And I thought, well, yeah, I mean, he's probably hunched over his keyboard going, I don't know what to write. I haven't seen this yet. This is new to me. A Tigers win over the Indians, you probably like, I already am used to writing that they got pounded again by the Indians, and you were probably struggling a little bit, yes?
Yeah, well, it wasn't so much that, but we had some more news after the game by Jordan Zimmermann, which is the Tigers termed it good news, but he's not going to be picking up a ball for, about a week now as he deals with a right neck strain. Good thing that his left neck isn't strained, but I had a lot on the table, so I apologize about that. But it was, you know, even early on, you just felt like the Indians were going to win this game too. They scored two runs early, and then the Cameron Maybin he hit a 9-iron off the left field foul pole. That kind of turned the game around, and then Nick Castellanos really put kind of the icing on the cake with his 3-run blast. But like you said, a much needed win for the Tigers, because this was getting out of hand, and it was getting to the point where, you know, me and my good friend Zach Meisel, we were talking about, you know, every series we play, we came on your show, and it's like, all right, well, I'm going to go with the law of averages here that says the Tigers are eventually going to win one, but at some point it was like, okay, how long is this going to go on? But I do think the Indians are still a better team.
Do you happen to know, Anthony, and maybe just as a beat writer, you looked this up as the streak grew to 11 like it did. How rare is it for one team to beat another team, a division rival, go undefeated in a regular season?
I don't think it's happened in the divisional play era. I mean, I could not find something that says it has. In terms of the Tigers and the Indians, the last time that it happened with those guys was in 96 when the Indians – the MLB still had a balanced schedule, and
nobody's ever gone to your.
I don't believe so. I don't believe so. I couldn't find anything like that. But 96, the Indians took 12 from the Tigers. Actually, beat them in a game at Tiger Stadium. Albert Bell had a home run. Jeff Kent had a home run. Beat them 9-3 in that final game there. So 12-0-96, but. This is something that's kind of unprecedented, especially in this rivalry, and a rivalry that really, really for the last, you know, 5 or 6 seasons has been really slanted towards the Tigers a little bit.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, you know, the last 3 years we were talking about it. The last 3 years, the Tigers were 38-19. No, I'm sorry, 37-19 against the Indians. So they just flat out owned them, which is what made that 0-11, you know, to start the season, just kind of impossible to comprehend. Because clearly, and this is the odd part about this, the Tigers are 15 games over 500 against the rest of baseball. Everybody else on their schedule, they're 15 over 500. It's that 0-11 against the Indians prior to yesterday, and now 1-11 against the Indians that have them 6.5 out. If they didn't have to play the Indians, they'd be running away with their division.
Yeah, no, absolutely. They've been good other than the Indians, but I also think that, looking back at their schedule and their body of work throughout the season, I think they have kind of fattened up against teams that, aren't so good. I mean, you saw them, you know, sweep the Rays out of 4. They swept the Mariners a week before. Who would you look? They're not a bad team, but they're certainly not a good team. So that's why I think that this stretch, getting that win against the Indians is so key, because now they're going to be playing a good team in the Blue Jays, and it's really imperative for them to go into the break, on a good note, at least split this series. So we'll see what they do this weekend, but
you're right about the Blue Jays being a good team. Yeah, this is a tough matchup. 48-39, the Blue Jays obviously right there in the thick of it in the American League East, and it's a big time challenge, and it's a challenge even with Verlander going tonight. Verlander, and I just happened to see the stat right before you came on. Against Toronto, it's not his favorite team to pitch against. He's 3-4 with an ERA of near 5, 4.90 and 10 career starts against the Blue Jays. Now, what does that mean? You know, historically, you know, not much today. Doesn't mean he's going to be that way today, but it's just one of those things where baseball being a game of numbers. What do you think of Justin tonight? Is he ready to go? What's their mindset after lifting that, you know, that heavy burden of getting the stupid Indians thing over with? Are they feeling good?
Yeah, I think they're feeling good, and I really wouldn't bet against Justin Verlander to begin with this, because I do think it is a bit of a big game when you got Pelsbury and Boyd and Sanchez. And now with Boyd and Sanchez, you got to take those with a grain of salt, because I know Brad Ausmus, he has not committed to either one of those guys, but it seems like they'd be the most most likely options there for the weekend, which is not a good sign for the Tigers' rotation. But Verlander, I think, I think science points to him having a good game tonight just because he had a good game the last time out against the Rays. Seemed to shake off those Indian struggles. But again, this is a very good lineup. Even without Jose Bautista, they got a good lineup there. Troy Tulowitzki is back. Russell Martin's been hitting better. So, it'll be a big challenge. But, I expect Verlander to, bring his A game tonight. Now, whether that produces some results will remains to be seen, but I have no issues with his, compete level there tonight.
Talking Tigers baseball with Anthony Fenech, beat writer covering the team for the Detroit Free Press, who joins us each and every week with a little bit of a Tigers update. Today, from the pool, give us a little visual here. What kind of pool are we talking about? Are we talking about your backyard? Are we talking about a public pool? Are we at a hotel, at a spa? Where are you?
I'm in my aunt's pool. I gotta take a day when I get a chance. I just drove back from Cleveland yesterday, so I'm at my aunt's pool.
What's your
aunt's
name?
I don't know if that's for public.
Well, just first name. Just first name.
Sharon.
And so Aunt Sharon's pool. So Tony's in Aunt Sharon's pool. What do we got? We got an in ground with a big deep end, or is it an above ground with a slide? What do you got?
In ground. I got my Uncle Hank who's laying in the pool right now. got a raft. We got the little pool cleaner spitting out some water every now and then. So yeah, it's a nice little relaxing. Nice
no
relaxing.
Banana boats?
No banana boats. I got some copper tone on though.
Jim Cushlin just chiming in there. Cush, you got a question, buddy? Go ahead.
You know, think about one more time real quick, guys, on this getting that win yesterday over the Indians, especially in the manner they did, Anthony, because I saw a team when the score was kind of reversed on Tuesday night in the Tigers that after they went down 2-0 and then I think it was 4, that the facial expressions and body language, that they just kind of checked out at that point. And it did make me wonder heading into yesterday. So to get that kind of performance out of pretty much everybody, because you have to when you put up 12 runs like that, get the confidence back, get that monkey off their backs as well. And for what it's worth, now they don't have to see the Indians again until mid-late September.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, it did seem like on Tuesday night they really folded up shot there. But I think a lot of that, has to do with just the fact that the Indian starters have completely dominated the Tigers and really baffled them. And that's why I think beating Tomlin was big because, Tomlin's still a good pitcher, but he's like their fourth, fifth best pitcher. You take him and Trevor Bauer, those are the two back-end guys. And those are the guys that have still been dominating the Tigers. And I think that, when Aníbal Sánchez put them in that early hole and then really lost it in the fifth inning, I think they were just kind of cashed out. And, I think you could see that a little bit with Miguel Cabrera, the way he got thrown out. I don't think that, I don't think it was that's a 3-1 game in the fifth. I don't know if Miguel Cabrera gets tossed like that. I think that was some frustration building up. I think that spoils a lot about the rest of the team, too, because they really didn't put up much fight the rest of the game. So it was good to see them, from a person that covers the team, it was good to see them show some fight because it has been growing old a little bit with the whole, that's baseball. This is, it's a roller coaster. It's up and down. We take one game every bit of the time. At one point, you just got to be like, look, who's going to get mad in here and who's going to show some emotion that we can't keep getting our butts kicked by this team?
Anthony, real quick, you mentioned San Diego and you mentioned the Miguel report. I'm sure you'd like to give us a Kinsler report as well. He is facing one of his opponents in the final vote candidates for the All-Stars, Michael Saunders, the left fielder for Toronto tonight. What do you think the odds are Kinsler gets in?
I don't think they're good because Michael Saunders has an entire country of Canada voting for him. I don't really think Kinsler would be Dustin Pedroia because he's got Red Sox Nation voting for him. So I think that's I think the first voting results were released yesterday, and Kinsler was fourth, so I don't really expect him to get in. He's definitely 100% an all-star in my mind. I mean, he's been the Tigers' most valuable player, but when you got a guy like Jose Altuve, Robinson Cano, both having great seasons, that's going to happen. And just for a tease for all your listeners, check out Freep.com or the Sunday Free Press on Sunday, because I got a big story coming out about Kinsler and how he plays with a chip on his shoulder. So I think this all-star snub will do nothing but make that ship a little bit bigger. But, no, I don't think Kinsler's going to get in.
Well, we will definitely promote it and read it and look on Freep.com and tell everybody else to do that too. But give us a little sneak preview. What is this chip that he plays with? What's the origin of that?
Well, essentially, without giving away too many of the details, Kinsler's just been a guy that throughout his career, ever since Little League, he's been kind of overlooked. He hasn't gotten the recognition that some guys – have got. I mean, he went to Arizona State and he got benched for Dustin Pedroia, and I think that's something that fuels him a little bit. But as far back, talking to some family members, as far back as Little League, he's kind of played with that chip on his shoulder, really used it as motivation, and still at age 34, you can tell it's there by just talking to him. So try to get inside of his head a little bit and kind of really explain why he is playing the best baseball of his career at age 34.
Well, you know, if that's the way he's wired, then what you said is probably true. I mean, you know, a little snub here, and I agree. He's absolutely an all-star. There's no question in my mind. 293 right now, 16 homers and 52 driven in, and third in the league in runs scored with 71, I believe, after yesterday. He is an all-star. It's just kind of, you know, there was a big discussion yesterday, too, you know, in the national media about just the way this thing is done. And, you know, every team has to have one representative. And unfortunately, there are good players who get snubbed every year because of that, sometimes because there's a glut of guys at a given position, and whether or not they should be able to go play another position instead of a 238 shortstop starting for Chicago, for example. Do you think that something needs to be changed, especially now that the game matters and we're finding out that, of course, the World Series home field advantage is, impacting who wins championships and thus the All-Star game matters more? Should they make a better effort to get the best players there or just continue with this popularity thing?
No, they should make an effort to get the best players there. It should be the managers, general managers, coaches, voting, not really have that much of an issue with the players voting. I think they take it seriously, and I think they take it seriously as a peer vote. But look,
and they're not allowed to vote for their own team anyway, their own players anyway.
It's really a tough spot for MLB because they want to get the fans as involved as possible. But the simple fact is you're putting so much weight. I mean, look, the World Series 2 years ago came down to a Game 7 where the Royals had the designated hitter. And granted, the Giants won that game. But still, you can see it play out different ways because there is an inherent advantage to having that final game in your own park with your rules, the way that your team is built. And I think that to put that kind of weight on the line and still have players like an Ian Kinsler not be in that game in favor of, another player that might not be as good, I think that's a problem, and I think there's a lot of people in baseball that feel that way too. So I think I don't really expect much of it to change because I think that Major League Baseball sees the importance of having the fans involved. But when you see a guy like Omar Infante, who is unemployed, he's employed now, but you see him unemployed at the time, getting more votes than Ian Kinsler. Well, that just doesn't sit well with me, and you know it shouldn't sit well with Tigers fans either because you know these are some of the best fans in the world. But let's go. Let's get out there, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that, and I can say it from an Indians fans perspective, too. By the way, the good news for Indians fans, Corey Kluber has been added to the All-Star team. For those who did not hear this yet, Corey Kluber has been added about an hour before we came on, an injury replacement for who is not able to go.
Marco Estrada.
Thank you very much. Marco Estrada from
who's the not Jays, pitching today. Who's not pitching today for the Blue Jays. Yeah, he's not pitching today for the Blue Jays. Drew Hutchinson.
Sore lower back for Estrada, and there we go. So now we have the game day update, too, as well, for Tigers and Blue Jays up in Toronto. But Corey Kluber, they got a bunch of the quote-unquote best fans in the world, too, but unfortunately only about, 13,000, 14,000 of them show up most nights to the ball yard. So they're not able to stuff the ballot box at the ballpark, and I guess people have more important things to do than sit around and do it 25 times a day at their computer, which they did in Chicago. What do you think of the five, seven Cubs altogether on the team and the entire starting infield? We talked about this last year when Kansas City was doing this and how stupid it was and how it's just, you know, some of those guys did not deserve that and we didn't like the ballot stuffing thing. But now they did it in Cubs land. Now the Cubs do have the best record in baseball and nobody can really complain about that. But, you know, there are guys in that seven group of seven that do not belong on that All-Star team, particularly their shortstop who's hitting 238.
Oh, absolutely. I just think it's that's the problem. That therein lies the problem. I mean, you know, all those guys aren't deserving. Sure, the Cubs should have, you know, four, maybe five guys. The rest of those guys, Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, Ben Zobrist, I don't really have much of an issue with. But you get into Addison Russell's, and you just put too much power in the fans' control when you have world championships kind of on this line. So I do think baseball needs to do something about it, but I'm not really going to hold my breath that they will.
No, I don't think they will either. It's unfortunate. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with Zobrist, but you know Daniel Murphy should be that in that spot from the Nats. And I think everybody knows it. If you look at their numbers head to head, it's just It shouldn't be. It just shouldn't be. No problem with Rizzo. No problem with Chris Bryant, obviously, except that Chris Bryant has been playing more left field than third base, and yet he's the starting third baseman. So then there's that, too. But anyway, Anthony, all right, do us a favor. Say hello and thank you to Aunt Sharon and Uncle Hank for letting us intrude on their quality time with you out in the pool. We appreciate the ability to talk with you in such glamorous surroundings. And as always, thanks for keeping us up to date on all things Tigers.
Bob, Robert, Jim, James, you guys enjoy. We'll talk next week.
You got it. We will. From San Diego, I have no doubt. We'll talk to you from the All-Star game. Thank you, Tony. There's Tony Anthony Fenick joining us right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket, covering the team for the Free Press. Congratulations to Polish Festival ticket winners Keith Mounts of Metamora and Ken Crockett of Toledo. They are your winners. We'll have more tickets to give away coming up this next hour, but not to the Polish Festival. Those are gone. I do have more tickets, though, for the Marathon Classic, from which we will be broadcasting at Highland Meadows next week on Thursday and Friday in Sylvania. So we got the Marathon Classic tickets to give away in the next hour. Also coming up in this hour, we are going to talk more about the seismic shifts in the National Basketball Association. We know about Kevin Durant, obviously, his press conference being introduced out in Oakland is at 4:30. Dwayne Wade, the latest future Hall of Famer, very likely and almost guaranteed to be, leaving Miami and going to Chicago. How do Heat fans feel about that? We're going to talk to an SB Nation writer from Miami, Saria Fernandez. We're coming up next right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Wade finding an open area inside, drives hard, draws the foul. Oh! Wade puts it in!
Oh, my. That's Dwayne Wade at his most versatile best.
Ottemeyer on the pick.
Oh. Throw blocked by Wade! This is good if it goes. Yes! Oh! He did it again!
All right, Wade putting the move on Davis. Here is Wade. Yes! With 1.3 to go! The rookie Dwayne Wade has given Miami a 2-point lead.
Terry puts it up. Won't go! Rebound Wade! The Miami Heat, they've done it! They win their first championship in franchise history!
This is a team award, just like this is a team championship. It's one of the best feelings next to my wife and my son. It's one of the best feelings I ever had in my life. So I'm going to live it up because we deserve it.
Wade splits the defense in with it. Oh!
Right in the grill! Welcome to my poster, Okafor!
You always want to put yourself in the best position possible to be able to win. You know, have an opportunity to team up with, you know, arguably the best trio to ever play the game of basketball.
Man, this process is unbelievably hard, and I don't care who you put on a team. To be a champion, it would be the hardest thing you do.
Wade behind his back, pretty play, spinning shot off the glass and in. What a shot by Dwayne Wade.
Oh, Wade, what a play!
Wow.
Oh, wow. I need to see that again because I don't believe what he did.
This was the most difficult one, you know, my dealing with things, obviously, with my body, you know, going through this. The things we had to deal with to get here, you really can walk away from this and say, we gave everything we had, and we really deserve this because they pushed us to our limits.
Thomas, Wade with a steal, with two. Wade puts it up for the win. Yeah, he did it. He did it. Dwayne Wade with the steal and the game winner.
13 years I've been here. Years after I leave, you know, I think the Miami Heat will always try to put a winning team on the court.
We are watching a very special young player. Wade has done that. Another banker. 41.
Wanted to continue to play this game at a high level. You know, wanted to be a part of something special, a big part of it. And that's what your individual work and everything you do over the summer is driven by.
This is the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
And while the NBA world continues to reverberate over the decision by Kevin Durant to leave Oklahoma City and go to the Golden State Warriors, a move, by the way, that is going to be punctuated with a press conference introducing him to Oakland, California in about a half an hour, a little less than a half an hour. While everybody still tries to digest and comprehend that, Dwayne Wade, a future a Hall of Famer, a three-time champion, leaving the only franchise he has ever known. The difference, of course, between him and Durant, he did indeed leave those three championships behind in Miami as he goes on to Chicago to play back home, if you will, presumably for the rest of his career. He's 34. It's only a two-year deal. Who knows what's coming after that? But the shockwaves are being felt everywhere. And by the way, the domino effect has sent Mike Dunleavy from the Bulls, who is now a salary cap casualty. They could not afford to bring Wade there based on the numbers they had. He goes on to the defending champions in Cleveland and strengthens their bench with terrific outside shooting and really just a very solid offensive force off the bench for the Cleveland Cavaliers, presumably off the bench anyway. All right, as we work into hour number two here at 4:14 on the Extravaganza, Jim Cushlin is alongside as well. I'm Bob France. Want to go to Miami now and welcome our guest. This is a unique thing for me because I have been talking about Miami fans and how they laughed at Cleveland fans and kind of trolled them 6 years ago when LeBron James left the shores of Lake Erie for South Beach and the gorgeous Atlantic Ocean. Now they're kind of seeing a little bit of what it's like to lose their favorite son. And Saria Fernandez writes for HotHotHoops.com. That's the official Miami Heat site on SB Nation. Joining us now right here on The Ticket. And Saria, thanks so much for the time. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you joining us. Thanks for the time. We just kind of wanted to reach out like we did a couple of days ago to the folks out in Oklahoma City. You know, we're here in Toledo, Ohio, just to throw it at you. We are kind of halfway between Cleveland and Detroit, a little closer to Detroit, but we got Cavs fans, we got Pistons fans everywhere. So Cavs fans are looking at this, and I got to tell you, taking a little bit of, you know, Schadenfreude satisfaction at watching the former Big Three now get down to the Big One, and who knows if Chris Bosh is even going to be sticking around based on a number of factors. So there's a little bit of satisfaction that Cleveland fans are taking in Miami losing Dwayne Wade. How are the fans down there, Saria, coping with this?
I think a lot of people, you know, will think about it emotionally, and it's difficult in that sense because a lot of them grew up with the Heat and Wade synonymous with each other. It would have been probably a lot more sad if he had left in 2010 when he was also thinking about moving to Chicago. And I think Miami will definitely take the fact that he came back with LeBron and Bosh, four straight trips to the finals, back-to-back champions. That is his legacy, in addition to the one that he almost single-handedly won in 2006. So for 13 years, I don't think it's nearly as bad as Durant leaving in his prime without having won any rings in OKC. I think the general thing is a lot of people are definitely, you know, sad about it, that it's a different era, but at the same time, that era, this second rebirth of the Heat after 2010 is another chapter that is closed, but the future is bright. They were able to resign Hassan Whiteside. They have a really good young core with a couple of rookies returning for their second season, Justice Winslow and Josh Richardson. Now they'll have cap space. They can use some of it to resign another promising guard in Tyler Johnson. And as you mentioned, it's a huge question mark, Chris Bosh, but if he can come back, he can be that leader. He can be that veteran all-star presence. He can give so much with his versatile game. And in the East, it's so wide open. They can rebuild, reload, and especially next year when the cap goes up again, Pat Riley can be very aggressive in the free agency.
That's a really interesting point you just make, because Pat Riley is at the center of all of this, and there is some question now, at least among, you know, NBA folks nationally, as to exactly how much influence Pat Riley has in trying to pull stars down there after building this thing just, you know, six short years ago, and then seeing, you know, LeBron James bail after four, and then now Dwayne is gone, and Chris Bosh, we don't know what's going to happen. There is some speculation that maybe the Heat want to get out of that contract, and that's why they wouldn't let him play for a full year. If you don't play for a full year due to injury or illness, that they can get out of the contract. So Pat Riley, you know, he built it, but it is kind of coming apart and unglued under him as well. What's your belief that he's going to be able to lure new star free agents down there the way he did 6 years ago?
Because he always does. There's something about Pat Riley. There's a certain gravitas when he walks into a room. He's won it all as a player, as an assistant coach, as a coach, as an executive. He's had meetings with Kevin Durant, last year with LaMarcus Aldridge. He can get his foot in the door, and he will make a very good presentation no matter
Hold on a second, if you could, because you said he had meetings with Kevin Durant and LaMarcus Aldridge, two of the most coveted free agents in the last 2 years, but neither one of them are in South Beach right now. That's kind of my thing. And then, of course, LeBron leaving and now this Wade thing. I get the gravitas. I get how he flashes those rings and that smile, and this is where you come if you want to win, because I know how to win. All that stuff you just said is 100% true, and it used to pull these guys, but now it's not pulling these guys, and in fact, some of them are saying, see you later. So, I mean, is there something changing in the magnetism, if you will, of Pat Riley?
No, I wouldn't say so. I mean, both of those are kind of long shots, but it's always Pat Riley's way to see if he can find a way to make it work with LeBron. I think it's more him going back to Cleveland more than leaving Miami, so to speak. As far as the future goes, who knows, but he's somebody that's so aggressive that he can always swing a trade like he did with Goran Dragic with that available cap space. The situation is so fluid, and there's going to be so many free agents out there. The city of Miami almost sells itself. Stable ownership, arena right on the waterfront. It's a top class organization. I think somebody like a Ballmer over in the Clippers, he can only say what he thinks would it be what it takes to build a championship team. Pat Riley can really walk the talk. And
yeah,
he's done
I,
it.
I, I so, get all
and,
that.
And with the cap space, it was limited the last couple of years for that, but with so much cap space and a young core on top of that, they have their first round pick next year as well. I still think that the lure of Pat Riley is one thing, and also just overall Miami itself, it seems to always be an attractive destination.
Let's go back to Dwayne for a second, if we could. We're talking with Saria Fernandez of HotHotHoops.com, an SB Nation site covering the Miami Heat. Let's go back to this. I never thought he was leaving. I thought in all of this, you know, the flirtation with the Nuggets and talking to other teams and everything else, that at the end of the day, he's not leaving the place where he won three championships. He's been described by Dan Lebatard, among others, as the most beloved Miami athlete in Miami sports history, supplanting Dan Marino, even in that regard, because of his championships and his willingness to take less in order to build the roster and make the salary cap work before. But the presumption, Saria, was that that he was going to get taken care of on the back end. And apparently Pat Riley had no intention of taking care of him on the back end. So what happened there? Why is Dwayne Wade, why was he kind of lowballed and almost forced out the door by Miami management?
We really don't know how it went down. I think it's maybe, I really don't know. He seemed to have a price in mind. I don't know if that was ever discussed that he would be taken care of near the end of his deal, or if he just assumed that. And when you assume things, you know, it may or may not be the case. They were forced to really give Bosch the max 2 years ago so as not to have LeBron and Bosch both leave. They had to take care of Bosch. They had to re-sign Hassan Whiteside without, you know, just almost like the Thunder. They lost Durant without any compensation whatsoever. So I think they had to retain Whiteside, and they had to make a move for Durant, even as long shot of it as it would be. And I think, Wade might have taken offense to that. But I think overall the difference in the money wasn't all that great between what he was seeking and what he ultimately got with the Bulls, and he wanted a third year.
Yeah, but
and the Heat weren't willing to do that.
But they came out with such an insulting offer of $10 million a year. Matthew Dellavedova, the backup point guard from the Cavs, just got 9.5 for 4 years from the Milwaukee Bucks. Dwayne Wade, three-time champion, former scoring champion, MVP, all of the things that D-Wade is. And he's 34, not 40. He's 34. He can still play.
Right.
He still averaged 19 and almost 5-5 last year. And they come out with $10 million a year. I mean, it was almost like it was an intentional slap in the face saying, you know what, dude, thanks, but we're going to move on. It almost seems like Riley was forcing his hand.
That report seems to be erroneous, because a lot of people have said from the from the Heat camp that wasn't true at all. Maybe they were $10 million apart overall. Maybe he wanted 50 and they wanted to give him 40 over 2 years. I think that might be the confusion. I don't know.
It's been reported in multiple sites and multiple sources close to the team say their offer was $10 million a year. And he wanted 3 years at 60. They offered him two at 40 after the initial 10, 40, but they were not going to go to the 3 years for 60.
I don't know. I honestly don't know if they really did offer $10 million. It doesn't sound like something they would have done. But again, I wasn't there, and the Heat will not discuss those sort of things officially, of course. But whatever the case may be, it was just going to be down to Wade basically taking up the rest of the cap space. And maybe Riley and the Heat brass realized that to do that, they would maybe handicap the future of the franchise, kind of like what that huge Kobe Bryant deal did for the Lakers. And they were willing to offer him 20, which is really the only thing that was left cap space wise, and then fill out the rest of the roster with minimum contracts or rookies. This is just a way that maybe it's best for both parties to move on. And I think for Wade, it's a decent enough destination where it doesn't seem weird as if he's just taking the money and going to Denver. It's fine. I mean, it would have been better if he had retired, but if he was unwilling to budge on his contract demands and the Heat, you know, can't come up with any more money besides maybe trading a valuable player like Justice Winslow or even Josh Richardson to carve out just a little more cap space, I guess Riley wasn't able to do it.
Yeah, it's weird.
Wasn't willing to do it.
We're talking with Saria Fernandez of HotHotHoops.com, SB Nation website covering the Miami Heat. Are fans down there angry with Riley, or are they angry with Wade, or are they just, yawn? They're not angry with anybody.
There's going to be a cross-section of everybody, and I imagine a lot of fans that are informed of what this would have meant to the future kind of maybe feel both ways, kind of feel that it's a shame that he's leaving and also ready to move on and see what Riley can do with this roster and with that cap space. So it's conflicting. And there were good arguments to be made on both sides as to why, you know, they were right, so to speak. And it's hard to fault Wade, and I think it's hard to fault the Heat. If they didn't have enough money and they didn't feel comfortable about it, then these things kind of happen.
Well, the reports that we hear all the time are, again, when they built that quote-unquote Three Amigos, which then became Big Three and everything else in 2010, and since then, Dwayne Wade has restructured or taken less in various deals in order to be able to help them create financial space, you know, cap flexibility, so that they could keep a championship-caliber team together, whether they won it every year or not. And that he was more than willing to do that as, you know, the cog of the Big Three, since it was his town originally, his team originally. And he was willing to sacrifice to bring all of that together. And that's why the presumption was that, you know, we'll get you on the back. Let's take care of this now, but we'll make sure that you get everything that you've got coming to you later on. Now, you said you're not sure if those conversations ever took place or if that was just Wade's assumption. I got to believe that Mickey Arison, I got to believe that Pat Riley, with the superstar that's the most popular guy in Miami, that they have had those conversations. Wade isn't just going to turn on all of those dollars on his own without some sort of an idea that we're going to take care of you later. So the question becomes then, do you know, two questions, do you know for certain how much he sacrificed in previous deals in order to keep a championship core together by helping the team keep their salary cap manageable? And then secondly, do you think they should have? And I'm not talking about a Kobe Bryant, you can't walk anymore, but here's $30 million for the last year of your career. I'm not talking that, but again, just a good, strong, healthy contract that makes up for the dollars that you sacrificed earlier on.
Yeah, it was three separate deals where he must have taken at least between $3 to $5 million less on each of those, especially the one in the 2010 one. And 2014 as well, he took much less thinking that LeBron was returning. There's two sides to that. I would say that Wade has a lot of endorsements, more than a lot of the players that have just signed large contracts. So it wouldn't be inconceivable for him to be a veteran like Tim Duncan or a Dirk Nowitzki that, you know, these issues don't ever become public and they have very reasonable contract demands. Dirk just accepted pretty much the same deal with the Mavs that the Heat were offering Wade. And there was no, you know, controversy over it because the players didn't make it, you know, to be a big deal. Tim Duncan just opted in for, I think, a very small $5 million contract.
But those are apples and oranges, though. Dirk Nowitzki or Nowitzki is 38, and Tim Duncan is, I don't know, 108. But they've been consistent.
Dwayne
is still 34 years old and can still play at a much higher level than those guys can on a nightly basis.
But several years ago, those two were already taking discounts for them to be able to accommodate other players.
Certainly Duncan was. You're absolutely right about that. But here's the thing. I'm sure if Duncan had said, I don't want to do that anymore, I haven't been paid the way I deserve to be paid for the last 6 years, for example, if he had done that, they'd have paid him. Because there's no way, I can't imagine anyway, there's no way Greg Popovich or Spurs ownership is ever going to let Tim Duncan get into another uniform before his legendary career is over. They would have done what it took if he had said, look, I want to be paid what's fair now after taking the hit so the team could sign new guys. And that's what Dwayne Wade, you know, verbalized. He said, all right, look, I've done my good soldier duty here. I've taken less. We've won championships. Now it's time to, you know, to get what's right. And for them to just so casually, in reading, you know, Pat Riley's letter is a little open letter to D. Wade, just like, oh, he's going home. Everybody's happy here. No, I don't think Dwayne Wade is happy to be going home. I think Dwayne Wade is ticked. Adrian Wojnarowski from The Vertical, who is a pretty doggone good inside-sourced guy, said that $10 million initial offer really angered him. And that is where we are here, that he's ticked at Miami management, not happy to be going home. He wasn't happy to give up all of that money, and he's not happy that they're not taking care of him now when the opportunity is there for them to do so with an expanded cap and the huge television revenue.
Right. Again, that's why I had said earlier that perhaps that's why maybe it's best for both parties to move on. You don't want him to come back just because, and just if his heart's not into it, then again, I think it's perfectly fine if he wants to move on. I'm sure it's not the best of circumstances. I'm sure if there wasn't a salary cap, then Mick Arison would pay him as much as he wanted, if not more. But under a salary cap where they had to use a lot of it to re-sign Hassan Whiteside.
Yeah, but it's the biggest cap in the history of the league. Everybody else is spending money like it's free. Everybody else has got, you know, I mean, Timofey Mozgov getting $64 million from the Lakers. I mean, the cap, if ever there was cap flexibility to give Dwayne Wade instead of, you know, $20 million a year for 2 years to say, okay, we'll give you a third year. We want you to retire as a member of the only franchise you've ever known. This was the time to do that. Mickey Arison either is A, just the cheapest guy ever, or Pat Riley is just the most conniving guy ever who doesn't really care about this whole legacy thing that you know that Dwayne Wade is being deprived of now in the city of Miami.
But if they don't have the cap space, so much of it is already taken up by Bosch, and he's such a huge question mark. Then you're going to tie up. I don't know, more than half of it to a 34-year-old Wade that, yeah, he played 74 games last season, but he's had knee issues. There's really no assurance that he could, you know, top what he did last year or the years before. And then now you have to also make a decision quickly on Whiteside or else he's leaving. And then that'd be a disastrous offseason as well. And they had a meeting scheduled with Durant. You can't just, you know, if he's interested in hearing what you have to say, you know, he'd have to take it.
Durant made his decision, you know, 5 days ago. That's not a part of the puzzle anymore. You don't have to clear cap space for him. He's not coming. So what money you had put aside for Durant, you could have given a portion of that to Dwayne Wade to keep him in Miami. And when I say you, of course, I'm not talking.
But he didn't want a portion.
But that's what I'm talking about. Is that Pat Riley? It just really appears to me like Pat Riley was just wanted to push him out, and he angered him very much so with that $10 million offer. That was the intention, to insult him to the point where he just bailed. So it doesn't look like they were just the ones, you know, sending and packing. It makes it look like, oh, you know, and you read his little letter here. Oh, you know, Dwayne went home, and what a glorious story that is. Everybody deserves the right to go play in their hometown. It just looks to me like Pat Riley was shoving him out the door with both hands.
I don't know. Yeah. If it looks like that, you know, and it doesn't look good from a PR move, but the Heat have always bounced back. Shaq didn't leave under good circumstances. Neither did Tim Hardaway. Neither did LeBron. But other players come, you know,
you just hit the nail on the head though, Saria, to me. You know, you just named some guys who left under pretty bad circumstances, but none of them are the guy. None of them were the guy in Miami for 12 years. Dwayne Wade, if he starts talking, and I don't know what he'll do, obviously, but if he starts letting loose on why he left and he starts talking about the fact, I mean, it's already out there that Pat Riley never even called him during the free agency period. Never once called him to say, hey, let's talk and see what you're looking for and what we've got to get done here. We're going to try to get KD in here. We're going to try to, you know, do this or that. Pat Riley, according to multiple reports today, never even called him. So if Dwayne goes and starts talking to other superstars, and you know how tight these circles these guys are in now, I would be surprised if Pat Riley is ever going to be able to lure another top-flight free agent. And when I say top-flight, I'm not talking about Harrison Barnes, who just went to Dallas. I'm talking about a Durant or a star-type, Wade-type player again. I don't think he'll ever be able to pull anybody in again if Dwayne Wade starts talking about what really happened.
Yeah, only time will tell. I'm sure there's two sides to every story. I'm sure Pat Riley has his version of it, and they had a price in mind, and they couldn't do more. And if Wade wanted more, then unfortunately he's going to go somewhere else. But I mean, it's very rare that a player gets drafted by that team and stays his entire time, especially a star like that. You know, you see Patrick Ewing and Michael Jordan and all these players, and it's funny to think that they moved on, and you kind of almost don't even remember what factors it were that caused that. And yeah, it is unfortunate. But I don't think that they could mortgage the future based on the kind of salary demands that Wade had. It just didn't seem like he was willing to give.
I'm blown away, by the way. I got to tell you, dude, I am blown away by just the casual attitude that I'm hearing from, you know, from Miami, you know, through you, that, you know, they just couldn't come to agreement on dollars. No big deal. Let him go. This was the most popular guy in South Florida, according to many people. And you guys just don't sound concerned at all. It's like, hey, we didn't want to mortgage a future to give this guy too much money, so let him go. It just appears as though the national perception of Miami sports fans that they don't give a rat's ass about their team sounds like it's spot freaking on to me.
All right. Well, I mean, that's your opinion. There's certainly
I mean, there's a reason why all those playoff games during the Big Three playoff run, there's a reason why they're cutting into the broadcast and midway through the first quarter and half the seats are empty because people are arriving for the second and leaving by the fourth. I mean, that was the, you know, story people told. And based on what you're saying, like, this is just no big deal. Everybody in the NBA that I'm listening to on the national level says this is a massive deal, huge, huge story, huge, huge issue that Pat Riley is going to have to explain. But from the source right there from in Miami, you just, you know, and again, I don't know if this is your opinion is different than maybe another writer or fans would be, but, you know, from within the community where you would expect there to be the most anger and the most shock that Dwayne is gone, it seems to be less than there is on the national level. It's just, I don't know why that is, but I just kind of thought you guys would be a little bit more frustrated down there that the legacy of your franchise, of the Heat franchise, the guy who pretty much built it and made it what it was, is off and running at the age of 34. Not 40, at the age of 34, and is not looking back. It's just a very strange circumstance. But I appreciate your explanation.
Well, I can't speak for everybody.
I can't speak for everybody. Of course not. I'm just speaking for you, too. That's all good.
That's the way I look at the situation where there's two sides to a story. I can't go and without knowing all the facts, I can't really swing one side to another. Like I said, it's an unfortunate circumstance, and I'm sure Heat Nation would all love to.
Hey, Saria, if you find it to be true that Pat Riley never called, because this is, again, what some reports are today. I'm reading one right now from CBS. That Pat Riley never once made a phone call to reach out to Dwayne Wade in this entire process. If you find that to be true, would that surprise you and would that upset you that he didn't? You know, it's one thing to say there's two sides to the story about the dollars, But the president of the organization never even reached out to the superstar to talk about those dollars and to, you know, and to work something out together. If you found out that he never even reached out, would it change your opinion of this at all?
No, it's certainly disappointing, but it already is that they couldn't reach a compromise, no matter what the circumstances.
Yeah, but compromise is one thing. Compromise means two people get together and talk and try to reach a compromise. They can or they can't. For one guy to ever even show up in the room, like, I'm not even going to bother. That's what I'm talking mm-hmm. about. That's what the report is, that Pat Riley, the single face of this thing, Mr. Charisma, or whatever word you used to describe him before, didn't even bother. Didn't even bother to call the star of the franchise and say, hey, you know, well, let's talk here and see what's going on. If that's the case, that's what I'm talking about, that I just find, you know, hard to fathom and hard to justify.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, definitely. Yeah. There really is. There's no, it's a very confusing situation. I don't know why he would have done that. It's something that only he can really know, why. But this offseason has always been kind of like that. And there's just so many question marks over the entire franchise. I don't know what the end game is. Maybe Wade never really wanted to come back to Miami. Maybe the relationship was already kind of fractured from last year, because this kind of went down last year as well, and he ultimately settled for a $20 million deal, 1 year deal.
Yeah.
It's curious to see what it is that happened this offseason versus the other ones where there was a communication breakdown.
So. Yeah, well, communication breakdown, it was either one of two things, a communication breakdown or somebody got lied to. And the person who got lied to got really, really angry about it and said, that's it, I'm done. And that's what we're going to wait to see, because if it's the latter, if it's not just a communication breakdown, but it's a lie, if he was told he was going to get X and X never was offered, or the call even never came, like I said, as soon as he starts spreading that around the Players Association, good luck recruiting anybody else to come down there to South Beach, anybody of any magnitude anyway, and that's where we'll have to leave it. Saria Fernandez from HotHotHoops.com, an SB Nation website devoted to the Miami Heat. Saria, thanks for your opinion on all this. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, have a great one. There you go. Here's it's Ethan Skolnick, by the way, who covers the Heat for the Miami Herald, that have the quote-unquote other side of the story. Ethan Skolnick tweeted this morning at 9 o'clock. While you're watching Kelly Ripa, one more nugget. Pat Riley never called Dwayne Wade during the entire process. That's Ethan Skolnick, a very well-respected NBA writer covering the Heat for the Miami Herald. He was there for years, left, came back, but he did not call Dwayne Wade once. According to Ethan Skolnick and reported by many other sources, that is staggering to me. All right, we need a timeout. We're going to take one, but on the way to that timeout, we're going to hook you up. As I promised in the last hour, I've got more tickets to the Marathon Classic. It starts on Monday, the 11th, and runs all week, obviously, at Highland Meadows in Sylvania. And if you would like to go, I got a 4-pack of tickets for you if you're caller 10. And if you don't get them at caller number 10, then I got good news for you. I got another 4-pack of tickets I'm going to give to caller number 11. We'll be broadcasting there Thursday and Friday from Highland Meadows, by the way. If you'd like to stop out and say hi, we'd love to meet you and talk a little sports with you on the air and off. But you got to get there first. So win those tickets now at 866-240-1065. 866-240-1065, a 4-pack to callers 10 and 11. And we'll be right back after this.
Be part of the extravaganza right now by calling 866-240-1065. Now back to the Bob France extravaganza on 106.5 The Ticket.
All right, onward we roll. It is 4:48, so not a ton of time left right here on The Ticket. Jim, were you as surprised as I was at the just no big deal type of attitude that at least one reporter down there in Miami has? We just couldn't come to an agreement, so they didn't want to hamstring themselves on the cap for other guys, so it's no big deal. They let them go.
Yes and no. I say it in the context of not really surprised, because that's kind of the MO for Miami fans. I mean, you threw out some things about how in some of those finals games they were leaving for exits early and things like that.
Yeah.
So on one level, no, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, you know, Miami for fandom has always been a different kind of place than a Cleveland or a Detroit or something like that to begin with.
Yeah, they're casual fans,
exactly,
to say the very least. They just don't care very much.
Right, right. And because there's so many other things down there that you can have your mind wander, if you will, that in some ways you just don't have up in this region. At the same time, a little bit, because, you know, I understand he's probably trying to be, even though it's a Heat website specifically, trying to be a little bit objective, and technically we don't know.
I don't think he was objective at all, personally. I thought he's being the exact opposite. I thought he's being 100% defensive of his franchise, the Heat that he loves, and the hell with Dwayne Wade, who's now a Bull. I didn't think it was objective. I thought it was very, very blatantly, you know, all of this stuff about Dwayne being angry, you know, I don't know if that's even true that they only offered him $10 million. So, you know, that's just one report. There's another side to the story. I thought he was very, very pro Heat and to heck with Dwayne Wade,
which is a really interesting, you know, dynamic. That's the kind of one that I really wouldn't expect. And I know where we've been hearing since last night that went down. And I believe this part of what he said is accurate in terms of Miami fans right now. Some are, you know, mad at Wade. Some are mad at Riley, and some are either mad at both or don't care. And it's kind of divided up evenly. That I actually believe to be completely true, as opposed to, say, Cleveland's reaction when LeBron left in 2010. Yeah. And that's, again, one of those instances where shows the different kind of fan bases in both areas. But what's interesting about trying to defend the Heat as an organization and or Pat Riley on top of that is I don't really know what this team does now. I mean, honestly, you could spin it all
they
you
suck
want.
Now.
Well,
that's
yeah,
what they do.
Because, you know, he is right. The money is tied. Some of the money is tied up in Bosch. Yes, they technically have more, but they swung and missed on the big time free agents the last two seasons. You've already lost LeBron. Now you lose Wade. Incidentally, and I don't think this is a small thing, they also lost Luol Deng, who we up here, Bob, we remember him as the horrible half a season Cavalier, but quite frankly, he had a good last 2 years in Miami and was instrumental to helping them get into the playoffs. They got nothing left. They got nothing left. And this is kind of what I was thinking. You know, there's so many random tentacles to this whole Wade situation and going to Chicago like this. Because, you know, on the one hand, Miami appears done. I mean, this is a team that was one win away from taking on the Cavs at what would have been a drama-filled East Finals back at the end of this May, just a month and a half ago. Didn't happen. And now we're here, and for all intents and purposes, the Heat are most likely done. I mean, we're too late in the game for them to get any kind of other big star. Yeah, the East is the East, but they don't have enough anymore. Remember a few days ago I was thinking how the landscape doesn't change all that much in the Eastern Conference with Durant, who's, of course, doing his little presser with the Warriors right now, that because he went stayed in the West, it didn't change as many things in the East. And I still had Miami at 4. If you recall from when we were talking about this the other day, I believe this would have been back on Monday when I was out at York. But now with Wade going there, Miami's done. In fact, for what it's worth, guys, Detroit Pistons should have home court in the first round and better be making it into round 2, because I think there's a giant cliff after the top 4 teams in the East, which to me are now Cleveland, Boston, Toronto, and Detroit. Then a cliff, because here's an example of what I mean by the other tentacles of this. Chicago, you know, you trade away Derrick Rose for somewhat understandable reasons, lose Gasol, lose Noah, you figure they're going to a youth movement, but no. Now, let's just bring in a bunch of other older guys, regardless of their star power names. I saw somebody throw out a stat yesterday that Rondo, Butler, and Wade combine for their careers 29% three-point shooting. So this team still won't be able to really shoot all that much. I have no idea what the Chicago Bulls are doing, but they essentially swapped out the guys that left for the three guys that are now in. I don't know how much better that makes them. I mentioned the other day the Hawks basically swapped out Teague and Horford for Dwight Howard, so they're going down. It's really after those four teams in the East, Cleveland, Boston, Toronto, Detroit, in that order, it almost doesn't matter because they're all mediocre to bad and will be done by round 1.
Yeah, I don't think there's much dispute there. Going back to the main point though about Miami, like I said, the point of reference that I had as I was talking to this guy was Lebatard, who, of course, again, you hear here every day on ESPN.
And he makes no bones about his love for Miami.
not only he, but, you know, I felt like as I read him, he was speaking for, you know, for Miami and for
right.
Miami fans. This is not the way it was supposed to end, as he said, for you know, the big three, first of all, but especially for the relationship between these two.
And he's 100% right on that,
parties.
Too.
I mean,
this was not supposed, at least Wade specifically, this is not how it was supposed to end.
Yeah, I mean, Pat Riley didn't even call the guy. Can you even imagine that? A 12-year player, three championships, took less money to help you build more championship caliber teams, and management offers him $10 million through the agent and never calls Dwayne Wade personally, not once during the entire process, even reading. I mean, let's say, just for the sake of argument, mm-hmm. that Pat Riley is so disconnected from reality, and I don't think that he is, obviously. He's very, very connected. But let's say he's so disconnected from reality that he isn't aware that Dwayne Wade really, really was offended and upset by this. He didn't see it in the papers. He didn't read it on Twitter.
Right.
He didn't hear it on radio or TV. He didn't know that Dwayne Wade is unhappy with the offer we told his agent we'd give him $10 million. Let's suppose he didn't know that, which is impossible to believe because he had to know that. And you would think he would at least reach out and say, Dwayne, let's talk. Why don't you come to the office or let's meet someplace or whatever, and let's talk so we can talk about what our thought process is and find out what yours is so we can work something out that is, you know, that is the right thing for
right.
everybody here in our mutually wonderful relationship. But just for the sake of argument, let's just say that Pat Riley did not know that Dwayne Wade was upset. He's still not going. He's going to go out there and reach out and try to bring Kevin Durant without Dwayne Wade at his side. He's not going to just be in free agent mode with their star. Look, Doc Rivers went to meet with Kevin Durant and took Chris Paul and
right.
Blake Griffin and everybody else he could with him. The Warriors went with the full contingent of Clay and Steph and everybody else.
Green,
and
I Draymond. Believe. I know Green was there.
Yeah. And of course, Steph went to the, you know, the texting thing and texted
yep.
KD about ego and all this
sure.
other stuff. So you're telling me that Pat Riley isn't going to approach free agency just with, hey, my biggest asset here, in addition to the weather, is number three. It's Dwayne Wade. Let's talk to Dwayne. Who do we want to target?
Yeah.
Who do we want to get? And by the way, we got to put your number in there, too. How is he not even engaged in that process? That is
that to me is
to me.
The most stunning development since all this started breaking last night. That if this turns out to be true, which I have no reason right now to doubt that it's not, that to me is stunning. And quite frankly, if I'm the owner, I seriously consider at this point moving on from Pat Riley. The guy's 71. I know he's a basketball legend, but quite frankly, these last couple of years, there's too many mistakes to overlook. And I know he's a basketball legend, but if I'm Miami's ownership group, and that part about not even calling Wade at all, that to me, if I'm Miami's ownership group, I look and say, I think it may be time to move on from Pat Riley.
I don't think Pat Riley is acting like that without the green light of the ownership. I can't imagine that he's not consulting with Arison on what they want to do and how much money they want to spend on A, B, C, D, and E. I can't
imagine if that turns out to be true, then this is as much then on Arison than it would be on Riley.
But Riley is the guy who makes the decisions. Riley makes the decisions because he's the basketball guy and the basketball mind and the guy with the flash and the panache and all the rest. It's just that he has to go to Arison to say, hey, this is what I'm doing, and Arison
right.
has to sign off on it, probably
sure.
the only role that Arison has. So this is a Riley decision, and that to me is the biggest shocker here, that he would do this to Dwayne Wade, and that Miami fans wouldn't even be upset. I'm going to believe Lebatard is speaking for angry Miami fans more
yeah.
than I'm going to believe this guy we just talked to, who just seems so cash about it, it's hard to comprehend. Hey, congratulations to Jeff Wilson of Lions and to Brandon Shantz of Wasion. They are the two winners for the Marathon Classic, which starts on Monday. I got two more of those four packs of tickets to give away to the Classic tomorrow on the broadcast, which will be a free-for-all Friday. So until then, have yourself a great night tonight. We will talk to you tomorrow at 3. Don't forget, stay where you are. Drive Time with Miller is coming up next right here on the Ticket.